first of our two readings this evening comes from the letter to the Hebrews. And I'm reading Hebrews chapter 1 from verse 1. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my Son, today I have become your Father"? Or again, "I will be his Father, and he will be my Son"? And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." In speaking of angels, he says, "He makes his angels winds, his servants flames of fire." But about the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." He also says, "In the beginning, O Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe. Like a garment they will be changed, but you remain the same, and your years will never end." May God bless to us this first reading from his holy word. Our second reading this evening comes from the Gospel according to Luke, and I'm reading from chapter 2, verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherd returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Amen. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, said, though Jesus was in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited. And these words of Luke we heard a moment ago, to you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour who is the Messiah, the Lord. We often think at Christmas time and in the run-up to Christmas of crowds of people. There seem to be crowds everywhere we go, doing shopping, buying gifts, crowds in restaurants, partying, so on. And there are many people who come to church at Christmas who seldom come at any other time of the year, and if that's you, you are entirely welcome. You may not be very clear about what you believe or whether the Christmas story is literally true, but you have a feeling, which many would find it hard to put into words, that the story proclaims a truth that is deeper than historical accuracy. You know, we have made a secular society which has no clear values, and so the emphasis in the modern Christmas is all really on shopping. But there must be something else. I'm sure you feel that. In its pursuit of money and power, our society is not unlike the Roman Empire. The Jewish faith was almost the only movement that stood out against this. Yes, the scribes and the Pharisees had reached a compromise with the powers that be, and the militant side of their religion was toned down, but many hoped for a Messiah, someday, who would call the Jews to arms against the Roman occupiers. Jesus, by opposing militancy, opposed the kingdoms of this world with God's kingdom of love. The mystical side of religion against the twin towers of money and power. Emphasis on the literal meaning of the Bible can easily turn into fundamentalist militancy. But the Christmas story, with its emphasis on the birth of a baby, shows us that the poor and the vulnerable have a truth that the rich and the powerful are blind to. That is the truth of love. And it's a good story. The Christmas story is really a really good read. That's why so many people come to churches at this magical season. The birth of a baby is always a miracle, but the birth of a child who will change history is very special indeed. The laughter of children is captivating, and as we know, love changes everything. But discovering that the love which this child went on to speak about and live out is at the center of our existence. And that's mind-blowing when we think of it. Everyone can respond with wonder to the Christmas story, and many become more loving people as a result. Trying to put that meaning into words and finding the right philosophical terms, well, that can come later. There's always room in the church for those who are inquiring. And I hope there always will be. Some of those who come as inquirers will say something like, well, I accept Jesus was a good man and taught many wonderful things, but I can't accept that he was the Son of God. And you know, there are many Christians who sympathize with that position. We declare in the creeds that Jesus was the Son of God, but there are many who are not quite sure what that means. We also believe in God the Father, and yet we know that God is above and beyond the material world that God created, and so God has no body and no gender. In the bad old patriarchal days, men had all the power, and so it was natural, perhaps, to use masculine terms when talking about an all-powerful creator. And sometimes inclusive language helps us to come nearer to the reality. Christmas is also a difficult time for people of other faiths. Take, for example, Muslims. We have Muslim neighbours just along the road. They believe so strongly in the powerfulness of God that it's impossible for them to imagine Allah becoming incarnate. Allah has no sons, they protest. And yet words can be very misleading, and a great deal is lost in translation. When Christians talk about sonship, they don't mean a physical begetting. It's the father-son relationship that counts. We believe that the character of Jesus is like the character of God himself. Jesus is kind, and so we know that God is kind. Jesus forgives those who are penitent, and so God too must be merciful. And most startling of all, Jesus becomes vulnerable and suffers for the sake of those he loves. And so the character of God must be like that too. For Jesus is God among us, Emmanuel. So if you find it difficult to think of Jesus as the Son of God, that may be because you have got the completely wrong idea of sonship. Christians believe that Jesus was completely human, but we also believe that he was completely God, and that the character of God was revealed through his living. The events of the first Christmas are indeed a beautiful story, but they also reveal a central tenet of our existence. The reason and the purpose of our lives here is love. For love is at the heart of the universe which God has created. It's now Christmas. I wish you a happy Christmas. You might like to turn and greet each other and wish each other happy Christmas.